My guest today is Michelle Heffner. Michelle is an author, life coach, and equine-assisted coach whose passion is helping people find comfort, courage, and confidence in the liminal space, that scary threshold where old patterns must be released so that the heart's desire can be manifested. She credits the horses with teaching her that possibilities only exist in vulnerability. Michelle is the author of 3 books, Horse Heart Connection, Equine Enlightenment, Discover the Buddha in Your Barn, and Whimsy, Whinnies, and Wisdom.
Welcome to Interspecies Evolution. The purpose of this podcast is to highlight human consciousness and how our self-awareness can lead to our honoring animals as conscious beings as well. We have gathered more than 3 dozen people with unique experiences and education, inviting them to share their journeys and how their relationships with animals have changed along the way. If you are seeking inspiration on your own journey of awakening, or simply want to improve your relationships with animals, we invite you to join us, because it is time for Interspecies Evolution. Here's your host, Jenny Jablonski.
Welcome to the podcast, Michelle.
Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be here.
I'm excited to share your story and your work with our listeners. What I know about you is, well, it could probably fit in a thimble compared to your entire life. But what I do know about you is so incredibly exciting. And I love it when I know someone and I've actually met their horses and been to their home and had lengthy personal conversations. And I just know the heart of someone. And that's what really inspires me to have people like you on the show so that you have an opportunity to share your wisdom beyond your books and beyond your community and to share your heart and your beautiful energy with our listeners. So I'd love for you to just tell your story. How did you get into horses? What was the inspiration for your books? And just tell us about your journey.
Oh my, okay. Well, my journey began as soon as I have memory, because I have been a horse crazy girl since I could talk and share that. I also happen to have been born in the year of the fire horse. And I spent much of my childhood running around in a pasture with a herd of horses pretending to be a horse. And yes, and the mares would reprimand me and my cousin as if we were crazy little fillies. And there was one horse in particular named Chaser, aptly named, I might add, who we would put our fingers on top of our heads like they were ears, and we would pin them back. And then he would chase us and we'd go run behind trees. The poor horse. You know, I think back and feel sorry for that guy. But I think it was in fun. If there's one thing I've learned is that horses are so attracted to the hearts of children. So looking back, I think he may have been having a good time with us. So I've ridden all my life and only was away from horses for a few years when I went to college and then started a career as a teacher. And then I was drawn back to horses. So when I was 49, the universe had been trying to tell me that I needed to change what I was doing, and I ignored it. I had a fall from my horse. It was a voluntary dismount because there was an oak tree coming our way. And so I started studying to become a life coach. I had worked for many years as a hoof trimmer. After my teaching career ended, I went all horses all the time. I trimmed horses for, 18 years. I'm still doing it, working on my own horses. But I knew I wanted to do an equine-assisted coaching course, and I chose the only one accredited through the International Coaching Federation, and it's based on the work of Linda Kohanov, the author of the original Tao of Equus. So I worked as an equine-assisted coach for a few years, and my horse, Bridle, started communicating to me that this work was having an effect on him. I was using my own horses for the coaching. And actually, Jenny contacted me after belonging to my Facebook group. I would write up case studies of the amazing things that were happening in my pasture with the coaching. And so Spreidel had told me in no uncertain terms that anyone who was incongruent wasn't really welcome in his pasture. I would have to watch him very carefully. And over time, what I saw was he would crinkle his nostrils. He would pin his ears. He would threaten to kick. And I immediately knew that, this is a person who is not congruent. So I made a change. I decided I wanted to work with people and their own horses. I wanted them to realize that any time we are with our horses, that our thoughts are affecting them. I wanted to help people understand that we have to be responsible for not just our thoughts, but the energy that we bring into the pasture with the horses.
And that's actually how we met, through your lovely work and your incredible sharing of your experiences with your clients and their horses. And I had reached out to you just to share how incredibly profound I thought your work was and how much I admired and respected you. And we just sort of developed a friendship over time.
Yes, I'm so happy you reached out to me, because I've treasured our time together. Whenever we've gotten on Zoom, or when you stopped by my house, that was a real honor. So working with people and their own horses turned into a weekend workshop that I was calling Equine Enlightenment, Discover the Buddha in Your Barn. My passion with coaching is to walk with people into that liminal space. And you go to the threshold of what's comfortable and what you know. And then there's a space between that and what's on the other side. In that space is where all possibilities exist. I would say the difficulty when I first started was in helping people to unlearn the horsemanship that they had learned, all the rules that seem so based in fear, and to step into this space of the unknown, so that on the other side, you can reach a deep trust, mutual trust. And I found that I titled it Equine Enlightenment because the elements of Zen Buddhism really embody what the horses have to teach us. And I wanted it to be fun, because many people are afraid to step into that unknown. You know, we're moving from fear to trust, and it's okay to be afraid. You know, that's a very valid human emotion, but we have to learn to define clearly what it is we're afraid of. So when people would say, I go into the horse's space, he doesn't get to come into mine, I was always so confounded by that. So I created this around the fear. What if you could step into being instead of always doing? And connection versus control. And that's what I wanted for, really, for people's horses and for the people. But my main concern is the life of the horses. What are the conversations that you can have with your heart? Because those are the conversations that the horses, I find, want to engage in. So when COVID hit, I turned my workshop into a book. And I filled it with the activities that I would do in the workshop so people could do this at home, you know, with their horses. Horses are attracted to play and to that sense of innocence. And when people really get into their hearts and open, the horses come and they want to be near you. And they'll actually even line their heart up with your heart and just bask in that, you know, beautiful sensation. Do you have any questions?
Are you working with coaching and being like a regional coordinator, or do you want to share any of that?
Oh, so I am still coaching and working with people and their own horses. I have not started traveling again to do the workshop as I had before. And I've become really busy coaching on Zoom. But I bring all of the wisdom that the horses have taught me into my coaching with people all over the world right now. And what I'm mostly focused on is that space, that liminal space, to discover the possibilities and help people realize their heart's desires. We work a lot on making dreams come true, and it is a passion of mine. I still have local clients who I work with their horses, and I'm looking in 2023 to bring back the weekend workshop, traveling around doing that.
Would you be open to sharing any stories off the top of your head that particularly touched your heart?
Yes. Actually, in the book, I describe a woman named Katie and her horse, Joe. And when I met them, she said that her life had been really chaotic in recent years, and she bought Joe to be her therapist. Well, Joe hadn't really signed up for that job. And when she first bought him, he was friendly enough. And then over time, he wouldn't let her catch him in the pasture. And she was feeling like he really didn't want to spend any time with her. So throughout the weekend during the workshop, we watched Joe and Katie transform. Katie went from almost kind of a victim mentality, oh, he doesn't like me, he doesn't want to be with me, to taking responsibility for her psychophysiological state. So every one of our thoughts has a physiological response, and the horses respond to that. And as she started really taking responsibility for her, not just her thoughts, but entering his space with an open heart, then we witnessed him starting to choose to be with her. The work I do, the horses are at liberty, and they can come and go as they please. So watching her transform and become more and more connected with him really culminated in this dance that she did with him. And it was so fun. It was to ABBA's Dancing Queen. I'm dating myself, but she had that playing. And this was her heart's desire, was just to go out in the pasture and dance with him. And he was ignoring her. And she was dancing by herself, and he was not dancing with her. He went over and hung out with the other horses. And she stopped and started the old thoughts of, he doesn't want to be with me, he doesn't like me, all of these thoughts that people have when they feel rejected. And then she stopped, and her energy shifted. And she just started going into this almost ecstatic dance that was really just for herself. And Joe, his ears came forward, he looked over at her, and he came in and joined her. And we all had tears in our eyes watching this beautiful dance. And when she stopped, she just kind of fell to the ground exhausted. And he stood over her with his head over the top of her head, just breathing his breath on her. It was beautiful.
You open to sharing any of your personal journey and how this work has affected your life?
Oh, yes, sure. You know, I feel like the equine-assisted coaching and therapy is not always honoring the horse. And I'm so grateful that I went through that training, because I've ridden all my life and I've worked underneath horses as a trimmer and in their energetic fields. And what I learned through the training I did was just how attuned they are to us and just how sensitive they are. One day I was home alone and upset with a friend, and I went out to the barn to have a good cry. And my little Arabian quarter horse cross, Snickers, came in and he started licking my eyes with his giant tongue. And it made me laugh. It was a great sensation. However, Spridle, who I've raised from a baby, he is the kind of the boss in the field. And he looked in, came marching into the barn and kicked Snickers out. Get out of here. And he came and stood next to me. He crinkled his nose and he pinned his ears and he bared his teeth. and he struck the ground with the hoof next to me. I said, oh my God, you're right. I should be angry, not sad. She crossed a boundary. And with that, he exhaled, the giant sloppy exhale, lips flapping, and his ears came forward, and he said, thank you, you know, and he walked off. And I realized, oh my God, you know, before having this deeper understanding of their connection to us, with my horsemanship training of all of my life, his behavior might have been reprimanded because that's such aggressive. It looks so aggressive, but he was simply communicating in the way he knows how. And so I'm very grateful that I understood what he was saying at that time.
Is this the same horse that said that he really didn't want to do the coaching anymore?
Yes. Yes. He's very sensitive. But they all are. How can I say he is? They all are. And if everyone only knew just how sensitive they are, what a different world it would be.
Absolutely. In your work, you talk about mindfulness versus mindlessness. Could you share a little bit about that?
Sure. So in the space of mindfulness, that I find that for many, that can be a very liminal space also. People aren't used to being very present in their lives. And so when we're with the horses, being in a state of mindfulness is a state of curiosity. It's an open, conscious awareness of context and content of the information that people are perceiving in the moment. It's not judgmental. It's where patience lives. It's where we can really experience being in the beginner's mind, where each moment is unique and full of possibilities. But most people and their training, it's based on mindlessness, which is an over-reliance on categories and, you know, distinctions drawn from past experiences. It's difficult to see other perspectives when we're there. It's habit and fixedness. And I think that describes a lot of the training modalities I've seen. I can't tell you how many horses I've seen running around playing these games. And they've played this game thousands of times and their ears are pinned and they just really don't look happy. And that is an example of mindlessness. You're not communicating with the horse. You're not even really connected with the horse. You're just going through some motions that you've learned. When we can shift into mindfulness, full presence, then the horses will have so much to tell us. It's where we have the opportunity and possibility of listening to what they have to say. I don't know that it's at the depth that you're able to. I know your amazing gifts, but it's definitely a level where connection can be built on a deeper level and trust can be established.
I wholeheartedly agree. Absolutely. And most people aren't aware of the liminal space. So you're helping to build a bridge is pivotal, I think, for them to begin to shift their mindset, as it were.
Yes. That's one reason why in the workshop, I make it fun and silly, because that liminal space for most people is scary. It is the unknown. Personally, I revel in the liminal space because it's where anything can happen. But I do recognize that most people are afraid to step off that ledge and into that unknown space. One example of that is allowing the horses to touch you and explore you. I'll have people just sit in their chairs and let the horses come around. And oftentimes the horses are actually pointing out emotional blocks the human has in their bodies. But they respond in such a beautiful way when we actually let them touch us, since we're always doing to them, allowing them to do a little bit with us. Now, I will say that my horse Spridle is very attracted to toes. And he's fascinated by them. And if I'm in sandals, he'll make a beeline for my toes. And my husband will say, honey, it's a trust exercise. Like, oh no, I'm afraid. But for the most part, you know, I let him explore me.
Michelle, I'm aware that you have traveled extensively and you and your husband have a very interesting life behind the scenes. Is there anything that you would like to share about that?
Okay, my husband and I, we travel. We love to travel. We're also poker players. And I'm going to credit the horses and those early experiences in that herd of horses when I was a child for teaching me about nonverbal communication and subtle perception, because I've used that in reading the other poker players. But that's neither here nor there. We've traveled a lot in Europe. I used to be a high school French teacher. I speak French fluently. We always do something horse-related while we're traveling. One of my favorite places to visit is Chantilly, France, where there is a palace that Louis XIV's cousin built for horses. He believed in reincarnation and thought he would come back as a horse, so he needed an appropriate place to live. And he built the most spectacular palace, you know, or barn. The first time we went, we got up close to this magnificent building, and I asked a woman passing, I said, excuse me, can you tell me where the entrance to the chateau is? And she said, oh, the chateau is further down. This is the barn. And so I highly recommend looking up the Living Museum of the Horse. And they have turned this palace into a museum of the history of riding in France. It's a really fun place to visit. They also do daily, you know, demonstrations of riding and training. I always try to find something horse-related to do on our international travels.
Speaking of reincarnation, would you mind if I share a quick story about your horse, Snickers, who's now crossed over the Rainbow Bridge?
Oh, please do.
When I was at your cute little ranch in Texas a couple of years ago, we were mostly speaking with Spridle, and then we sort of left the barn and, you know, after we had lunch and we're sitting on your beautiful porch looking out over the amazing landscape. And it just sort of came to my mind, hey, should we say hello to Snickers? Let's see if he has anything to say. And when I checked in with him, this is exactly what I heard. Do you want your palms red? Do you want your aura red? I'm a soothsayer.
Oh my goodness. That was so brilliant. And he truly was.
So he shared with us that he was a gypsy vanner. So he was owned by a traveling gypsy, a traveling soothsayer. So when I connected to him energetically, he's like, oh, I remember this. And he literally said to me, do you want me to read you? I can read you. And I said, well, sure. And he gave me a little reading.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. Wow. You know, that day you were here, it was so powerful. And my mind, I had forgotten some of the details of that because I was so struck with your conversation with Spridle. I'll share with your listeners that Spridle's father won the Kentucky Derby. He was supposed to be a racehorse. He sliced his knee when he was 6 months old, and they thought he would never race, so they gave him to me. In my mind, I always thought, oh, I saved him from that horrible life of racing. And what he told Jenny just took perspective and threw it on its back and turned it upside down and open my eyes. Do you remember what he said to you?
As I recall, and I'm not really good at recalling sessions, he said that he felt that he had failed his ancestral lineage.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And that he didn't live up to the expectations. He didn't live the life that he was meant to live, and that created some wounding for him. And in fact, the first phrase I think he said was, lifelong wound. And he showed me his knee. And I didn't know anything about this, this wound. Then when you shared with me, oh, he was wounded at 6 months old and he's now 30 something. Is that correct?
No, he is 22 this year. I have the older horse, Bogey, who's 32.
Oh, pardon me. Can be very confusing.
Right.
And so he showed me his sense of unworthiness and his desire to seek validation in other ways, and that he was taking in the energies of other people, taking on other people's traumas, emotions, and judgments, etc. And also, I did not know that he had said to you he didn't want to continue with the coaching, or that you had discontinued coaching with him. I had no idea. And he was showing me that he was taking on other people's energy, which seems to be something that I do quite a bit, is help people understand whether or not their animals are actually managing their energy well, if they have good boundaries, if they know the difference between what's appropriate and not appropriate, or if they have a soul agreement with someone or to do a certain job. Did they enter into that soul agreement based on a misunderstanding, or is it a legitimate choice of the soul? And so we had quite a lengthy conversation. As I recall, you wrote a beautiful blog about it.
Oh, yes. I had to write that immediately because I didn't want to forget any part of it. Yeah, that was amazing. And it brings us back to the responsibility we have when we're with our horses. And actually, I would say probably all of our animals, to realize that, you know, our thoughts and expectations create our reality and affect those around us. Actually, before you go out to feed your horses, what if you were to really sink down into your heart and out of your mind and open your heart so that as you enter, you're entering and honoring their space and them as beings? I think if everyone practiced that, then their relationships would flourish so much more. And actually, Snickers, on his last day, he had really bad arthritis when I rescued him. And on his last day, he told me, it's all about love. It's all about the heart. And that's one of the biggest lessons horses have taught me. It's a lesson that we all need to learn.
Absolutely. And that's the name of your first book, Horse Heart Connection.
Yes. And my Facebook group where you found me.
Well, thank you so much, Michelle, for joining me today. I encourage everyone to consider buying your new book, which is Whimsy, Winnies, and Wisdom. It won't fit in a Christmas stocking because it's not a small book. It's a rather wide book, actually, but wonderful Christmas gifts all around. You're such a lovely writer, and any opportunity I have to read your work, I do so.
Oh, thank you so much. Can I tell you one thing about this book? It is written through me by this herd of rescued horses that live at my dear friend's home. And when I sat down to start writing, it really came through me, and it came out in rhyming prose. And I said, really? Is this what we're going to do? And the horses said, yes. And so it's almost like a child's book, but it is has very deep, interesting lessons. And as I described each horse, I sat with them and let them help me write what they wanted to come out. So I hope you enjoy it. It is quite entertaining, I think. Thank you.
I invite my guests to return next week and have another conversation with me, because now is the time for interspecies evolution. The information provided in this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional, medical, psychiatric, or veterinary advice. Our conversations are based on our life's experiences. We intend this podcast to be complementary and supportive. It is not intended to be a substitute for traditional medical, psychiatric,
or veterinary care. If you need a doctor, a psychiatrist, or a veterinarian, please contact one immediately.